Once again, good morning. It's so good to see everyone. And would you join me in the Gospel according to Numbers? The Gospel according to Numbers. I find out that I have followed the instructions of the Gospel according to Numbers for the past 33 years here. My ministry has been a ministry of repetition. Just repeating the same thing over and over and over. And that is the instructions that I receive from the Word of God. I'll never forget a comment that was made to me many years ago after I brought my first message with this body, and it happened to be in the home of Dwayne and Joe Blanchard. And after that service, or during that service, I said, I only have one message. And a lady told me later, she thought I was going to speak from the same verse all the time. Well, we do in a sense, but that message is Christ and Him crucified. And that message is all through the Scriptures. And today we're going to have a message or a lesson on repetition. Because this first chapter of the book of Numbers, like many other places in the Scripture, are varicious. They repeat themselves. And in fact, I found that there was a translation made a number of years ago, the Reader's Digest translation, and they edited out all the repetition and thought they were doing us a favor. Well, they weren't doing us a favor. Now, we may find it difficult sometimes to read the repetition, but God had a reason for doing it. God knows our frame. God knows us. A very dear friend of mine many years ago said, I'm going to share with something with you, and I may have told you this before, yet I do not know how much you have forgotten. Sometimes I'm having to say that now as I repeat myself. Well, in the book of Numbers, and we're going to begin reading with verse 17, and our message is through the verse 46. Now, I'm going to give you the opportunity of reading all of these verses. We will not take time this morning, but I want you to know I have grown to appreciate repetition. God really demonstrates His interest in humanity. He demonstrates His interest in the church. He demonstrates His interest in the elect. He demonstrates interest by repeating Himself over and over and over. He wants us to know that the message is very, very important. And He has repeated this message to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that message will continue to be repeated till the very last one of His people is saved. It is a very important message, and in every generation, this message will be repeated. So He didn't just say it once and hope we got it. He shares it over and over and over and over again. So in the book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 17, and Moses and Aaron took these men, which were expressed by their names. Now, the last time we were here, we went through those names, the representatives of the tribes that were going to be brought out. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month. Now, we're going to have how many people are going to be gathered together? I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But we do find out that there's going to be over 600,000 men ready to go to war are going to be carried out. So we have families of these folks, and we have grandparents and aunts and uncles of these folks gathered together. And 3 million? Maybe? 6 million? I don't know. But a great herd together. And of them, please note this, out of the host, out of this congregation, are going to be called 630,000 people. And they declared their pedigrees. Now that word pedigrees, to show their lineage. How do we show our lineage today? I had a great uncle that spent a lot of time tracing out his physical pedigree. But how do we show our spiritual pedigree? Well, I have to ask, who do you trust? Who is your salvation? Who is your hope? Who's your Savior? Who do you depend on? That's going to tell a lot about our pedigree. I have family and friends that would immediately say, well, I'm a member of a church. I've been baptized. I've taken the Lord's Supper. I made a decision. Well, that's a poor pedigree compared to the pedigree that's required. The pedigree that is required is to have the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our only Savior. That's the true pedigree. We must have Him, or we don't have the truth. All after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward by their polls. Now, why didn't God say 19 years older? He's God. Why didn't He say 21 years or of older? Because He's God. He can make the exact determination of all His purpose, and He has done that from eternity. In old eternity, He made a purpose, and that purpose is being carried out today, and it will be carried out tomorrow, and His purpose has never failed. Then verse 19, as the Lord commanded Moses, so He numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, were 46,500. Now, if we go through every couplet, every couplet, except for the tribe of Joseph, which was Manasseh and Ephraim, we'll find out that he brings up their name, repeats exactly the same words, and then shares the difference is their name, and the difference is the number of people that were chosen out of those tribes. For the next 46 verses, the repetition of God. He's with us as He showed in the previous books of the Old Testament, and from this point onward throughout the entire Bible, He is going to share with us that He is a God of repetition, knowing that we will soon forget if it is not brought up again. We need this repetition. Of the tribe of Reuben, which the next one is 46,500, Simeon 59,300, Gad 45,650, Judah 74,600, and every time I read the numbers in here, there's an exact number that God had numbered out of all of that tribe that met these specifications that He had already predetermined. Issachar 54,400, Zebulun 57,400, Joseph out of Ephraim was 40,500, and Manasseh 32,200, Benjamin 35,400, Dan 62,700, Asher 41,500, Naphtali 53,400, and the total in verses 45 and 46 was 603,550. Now, I've already answered some of the question that I was going to ask at this point is why, we may ask why the repetition. Every two verses repeat almost identical except for the name and the number of people that God chose out of those tribes. Now, what we have to say to fails compared to what God has to say to us. Turn with me, if you would, to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we read here in verse 7, the Lord Jesus is preaching a message of grace. He's preaching a message of Himself. You know, He's the only preacher that ever came to this earth that had the privilege, right, and honor of preaching Himself to the help people. Now, we preach Him and Him crucified, but He preached Himself and Himself crucified. He was a preacher of righteousness, and He preached righteousness, and His name is righteousness. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, we read these words, and it's the only time I could find the word repetition or repetitions used in the scripture, and it is brought up in a negative sense when we are talking to God. In fact, it says here, when you pray, verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions. What we have to say to God just pales compared to what He needs to say to us. What we have to say to God, He says, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And that word repetition is to repeat the same thing over and over, to use idle words or meaningless words and words. Don't do vain repetition. Now, one reason for that is found in the very next verse. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, the people that go through vain repetitions don't understand the fact that God is already knows what we have need of before we ask. What we have to say to God is just so slight. The only thing that we can truly honor God with is repeating what God had to say about God. Holy God, righteous God, great God, sovereign God, King of kings, Lord of lords. All of these ways that the Lord shares about himself, he is really pleased when we return to him what he has shared about himself. But when we start talking in vain repetitions, we're not making any ground whatsoever. Now, it doesn't mean that we're to stop praying about a person or an item or a subject. It just means that not sit down and just use idle words over and over and over as the heathen do. God's people don't need to do that. God's people know that he has knowledge of what we have need of before we even ask. He's already taken care of the issue. The battle is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. A large portion of the scriptures are, no, there's chapters repeated, verse after verse repeated in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And it's not done by accident. And we don't come about because God's lazy. God wasn't lazy when he gave us the scripture and just gave it for repetition purposes only. There is significance. Now, in the Old Testament, particularly when we run into Genesis, begat and begat, you know, if we took the time to look up the definition of those people's names, we'd find out that there's some serious business that God was sharing with us in those verses of scripture, as well as the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. We'd find that there's great significance there. So he's not lazy or that he wanted the text any longer. You know, this is just as exactly, and my Bibles are getting thicker. You know why? Because I need larger print. I need larger print. So they're getting thicker, but they're not getting bigger in the sense of more words are there. The Bible contains repeated text, repeated accounts, repeated themes, and repeated messages for the reader. Repetition in the Bible emphasizes the importance of the message God has for us. The repetition of passages about God's grace to us is necessary to be repeated over and over and over and over. Not just for us, but for the next generation that comes along. The same message must be preach to them. In Isaiah chapter 28, would you turn there to Isaiah chapter 28? In Isaiah chapter 28, as we think about this repetition, we find that God does this on purpose, that he has repeated the scriptures time and time again, that we have the same message in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. In fact, as we've heard a number of times in the study of the book of Luke, if you find something in the New Testament, most of the time, you're going to find that in the Old Testament. This is just the way God has written the scriptures. And it's interesting, there is such repetition between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is such repetition in the writings of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, repeating subjects over and over and over. And that is for our benefit, and it is to remind us that God truly is interested in the welfare of the church. He cares about the church to the bone, and he wants the church. He has the church in such a blessing place. I will repeat this over and over and over. We'll never get it absolutely correct in this life, but it's preparing us for the life to come when it will be absolutely correct. We have this flesh that we carry around with us, and it makes it hard and difficult for us to comprehend all the things that God has to say to us in the scriptures. But he reveals his Son to us. He reveals the glory of God to us in salvation. And from that point on, we anticipate the time when everything will be understood. Right now, please repeat it to me one more time. Tell me the old, old story one more time. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10, we find that this is the way that God teaches to us. He's the great teacher. He's the instructor. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. He knows all of the facts. He knows all of the premises. He knows all the truth. He knows it all. And he's going to share it with us over time, revealing Christ and growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on a continuous basis. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 10, the scripture shares this, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept." He's going to repeat it and repeat it again. He's going to tell us of his son, the Lord Jesus, and repeat it again. He's going to tell us about Christ and again, ministry of Christ, and repeat it again. He's going to tell us of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and repeat it again. And he's going to share with us time and time and time again who this was all for. Over and over and over in every generation, and to us 100 times, 1,000 times in our generation. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, as the Lord puts it together for us, as we read the scriptures and he puts the truth of the gospel together for us from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, to be able to see Christ as he is presented in all the books of the Bible. As Moses wrote of him, Jesus said, if you had believed Moses, you'd believe me, because Moses wrote of me. Precept upon precept. He tells us everything over and over, one line at a time. And the Spirit has purposed to reveal the truth to the church. It's by revelation. We don't come to this conclusion on our own. It comes by revelation of Jesus Christ. God is a God of repetition. In fact, his name, let's forget, so often repeated in the scriptures. I was amazed to find that the word Jehovah, now it's not translated Jehovah in every place, it's translated capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. 5 places it's translated Jehovah, same word. But this name is repeated 7,888 times in the Old Testament. The word Jehovah. What does that mean? It's an important name. It's an important person. It declares an important theme. That Jehovah, the self-existing one, the one that has all salvation contained in himself, the one that Moses met at the burning bush, the one that Joshua met just outside of the city walls, there at Jericho, the one that appeared to Abraham, the one that appeared to David, the one that appeared throughout the Old Testament, this Jehovah, the Savior of his people. And the word Lord of Hosts, the name Lord of Hosts, been a real blessing to me recently to look that up and find out 235 times the Lord of Hosts, or the Lord of the armies of heaven, is mentioned in the scripture. Now turn with me, if you would, to the book of Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, and there in verse 4. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. In that verse of scripture, the word L, capital L-O-R-D, is used, and the word Jehovah. 3 times in 1 verse of scripture, the name Jehovah is used. What is he emphasizing? Trust ye in Jehovah forever, for the Jehovah, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. What is he telling us? There's only hope in one. And his name is Jehovah. The repetition that God gives us into the scripture is very valuable to us. We always can go to the scripture and get the same message because it's repeated time and time again. And then if you turn with me over to the book of Zechariah, we've been looking at the book of Zechariah on Wednesday night, but here in chapter 1 and verse 3, chapter 1 and verse 3, 3 times in 1 verse of scripture, the name Lord of Hosts is used. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3, "Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of Hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Repetition, over and over again, the Lord shares with us that he is the sovereign Lord of all, the Lord of the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? The repetition of God's names over and over, reminding Jehovah that he is the King of Kings, reminding us that he is the Savior, reminding us that he is the Lord of all things. And then in the book of Revelation, it's amazing to me, you find five verses that use the word Lord God Almighty. Now, Lord would be enough. God would be enough. Almighty would be enough. But the Lord, in repeating himself, say, I am the Lord God Almighty. The Lord God Almighty reigneth. The Lord God Almighty. What a blessing it is to find the scriptures that share with us that repetition from God's standpoint is good. Repetition from our standpoint, not so valuable. Be not as the heathen with your prayer of vain repetitions. But God on the converse says, I will repeat myself from the very beginning to the very end. I will continue to bring to you the very same message. It will not change, for I changeth not. In the book of Philippians, would you turn over there with me? The book of Philippians chapter 3. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, we read these words about repetition. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote a number, or he was used as the secretary to write a number of books for the New Testament. And many have the same theme. Jesus Christ is Savior. And beware of those who bring any other message. Remember, Jesus Christ is Savior. Beware of any other message, because that's not the gospel. He brings that out in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He brings that out in Galatians. He brings it out in Hebrews. He brings it continuously out because God, the God of repetition, is going to repeat the message whoever he uses as a secretary. In the Old Testament, I am God and beside me there is none else. In the New Testament, it says, I am God. Don't worship anything else. Here in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul as a secretary is delivering the message. Now this last weekend, just like here, I have the privilege of being a herald. That's all we can be. Here's what it says. I don't have to defend anything. I don't have to defend God. When I read in the book of Genesis, in the beginning God, you know, in my religion, I kept going, is there really one of those? And in Revelation, when Christ revealed himself to me, he convinces you beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is God and that he doesn't have to prove himself. Let's declare him. Well, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Repetition. He brought that message wherever he went. He preached Christ in him crucified wherever he went. Rejoice in the Lord. Is that where your rejoicing is? Is that the pedigree that you have? Is that where you go to when things get tough? Do you rejoice in the Lord? To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. It's not a hard thing for me to repeat myself because I'm just repeating what God gave me. I'm just a herald. But for you, it is safe. Just let me repeat myself over and over and over. Let us never leave an assembly without knowing that Christ is the only hope for salvation. Rejoice in the Lord. And then he goes on, as he does so often in scriptures, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision or mutilators. Mutilators of the gospel. Oh yes, God said he's the Savior, but he needs your help. Tell that to Adam when he's laying there as a piece of clay put together. Tell that as Paul brought out to the Ephesians. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespass. Help. In fact, we're going against him. We're enmity against him. So all the power that was exhibited in raising Jesus Christ from the dead is exhibited every time he raises someone from the spiritual dead and breathes into them the breath of life and they become a real living soul. What repetition. Turn with me to 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter, there, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. The Apostle Peter was given the same message. I don't have to go home and come up with something new. I don't have to study something new. I've got it all. Sometimes I wonder where we're going to be, what repetition we're going to have today. Well, here, the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." I know you believe this, and I know you know this, and you've heard it before, but please, let's just go over it again. Let's go over the same ground again. Let's go over the same planting again. "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowingly, I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." The things of Christ, the glory of Christ, the salvation of Christ, the hope of Christ, all of those things, may I put you in remembrance. They take away our Bibles. May you have repetition in your mind. And Brother Craig read there in 2 Peter chapter 3. I just want to read verse 1 again. 2 Peter chapter 3. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds to put away by way of remembrance." The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of these writers of the New Testament, all the writers of the Old Testament, as they were used as secretaries of the Holy Spirit, were given one message by the Lord. They did not have the opportunity given to them by God, as some people would say, that they got to write about anything they wanted to. God restrained them. God held them in check. They did not write their own words in the original. They were given those, and they were repetitious words. It is plain that it is of the highest importance in the divine plan to have this repetition. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would not have done it. It's important. Christ is the only Savior. Now, we discovered that the Scriptures are very plain and repetitious on three important truths. God does not change. He's not changeable. He repents not. He doesn't make mistakes. When he purposed to do as he has done in the council halls of eternity, he has carried it out. And he has shared with us in many ways, "I change not. I don't change the message. I don't change my purpose. I don't change what I'm doing. I'm always doing what I have purposed to do before the foundation of the world. I purposed it. And I'm the only one that knows the end from the beginning. I know what has happened in the past because I purposed it in the past." So we don't have that ability, but God does. And he repeats this constantly, time and time again. Second thing that is most important, that is repeated time and time again, in the gospel does not change. I remember going to a Sunday school class when I was in college down in Klamath Falls. A friend invited me to go to church with him. Well, I'd been used to going to church, so I went with him. We got back. It was a bigger class than when I was at home. And they actually had a college class. And this teacher got up and read something out of the Old Testament and said, "In the Old Testament, people were saved differently than they're in the New Testament." Now, I didn't know anything, but I knew that wasn't right. God never has changed his purpose of salvation. He did not save generations in the Old Testament by sacrificial lambs. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It's the blood of Christ. So those people in the Old Testament are saved just like people in the New Testament are saved. Those were types, shadows, and pictures no more than baptism or the Lord's Supper is to us today. But salvation has always been the same, and Jonah summed it up. Salvation is of the Lord. All of it. Every bit of it. Not any of it is left undone. And you know what? The third thing that we find so clearly repeated over and over and over. If you read the second, third chapters of the book of Romans, which quotes many of the Psalms, that man has not changed. We're still sinners, born sinners, at enmity with God, sinners, without help and without hope and without God in this world. After he saves us, we're saved sinners. The flesh still is a burden. And we don't make any progress with it. I'm thankful, I was speaking this morning to one of the brothers, I'm thankful for his restraining hand. But he saved us for eternity, and he promised us a new body, and that's what he's going to give to us, not cleaning up this old one. So we have God has not changed, and the gospel has not changed, and man has not changed, and it's repeated 10,000 times in the scriptures. I am God, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Salvation is of the Lord, and God saves sinners. That's what we find the Bible has repeated time and time again. And there in the book of Numbers chapter 1, when he chose those few out of all those tribes to be what he intended for them to be, is a picture and a type and a shadow that of all the hosts of the world, he intended to choose, and he does choose, and saves a people out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. And he repeats that over and over again. That is not a work in us. Christ is the only Savior in Adam's day, and Christ is the only Savior in our day, and Christ is the only Savior in all eternity. That's the repetition of the Scriptures. The book of Acts, would you turn there to chapter 4? Acts chapter 4. As God gave those number of verses, repeating words over and over and over, changing only the names of the tribe and the number of people numbered in the tribe, he is sharing with us a valuable part of God's work with humanity. It is a work of repetition. I know for a fact that the missionary down there in the New Guinea, his work is a work of repetition. We're repeating ourselves. He's repeating it there, we're repeating it here. Wherever the gospel is being preached, there is repetition of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in the book of Acts chapter 4, the Apostle Peter brings up the subject that this is so valuable. In fact, Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "Be it known unto you all, to all the people." Now there's been a man healed, and they just can't figure out how this man was healed. "Be it known to all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified." Now he's not making any points, but he's repeating the account. He's repeating what he's repeated. And he will repeat that. This is Peter. He will repeat that in the two books of 1st and 2nd Peter. He's repeating the gospel. "Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead." And that's repeated over and over and over. "Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was at naught of you builders." Repeating an Old Testament passage of Scripture, and Christ brought that same passage of Scripture up about a stone that was, builders didn't want any use of it, but it's the head of the corner. It's become the head of the corner. Now notice verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven. The last one saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but this name. Now why? Jesus repeated it time and time again. The apostles repeated it time and time again. And the Old Testament prophets repeated it. Because you know what? They preached the gospel in the Old Testament. That's what it tells us about Abraham. Gospel was preached unto them. Gospel was preached to those Jews that we're reading about in Numbers chapter 1. And through the book of Numbers. The book of Hebrews says it did not avail them anything because it was not mixed with faith. Now we say, well, why didn't they have faith? God did not supply it. He did not give them a heart to believe. Who believed? Those that he gave them the heart to believe. This salvation has been preached to every generation from Adam to this day, somewhere in the world. You know what? In 1986, January of 86, I heard the gospel for the first time and it made me so angry. You know why? Because it told me my religion was not right. And guess what? It wasn't. Religion saved no one. Christ is the only Savior. That message has been repeated and repeated and repeated. The man who brought me the gospel repeated that message for 50 years. Then the Lord called him home. That message will continue on. Christ and him crucified. There is none other name, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. O God, grant us the grace to repeat the message. May we be repetitious, not on our words to God, but God's words to men.